You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church here on 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday here with us here. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. Let's tune into his frequency here today. God's got a word for you today, and he always does. When you tune in your dials to his frequency, he's always broadcasting. Let's go to where he speaks here today. That is in the Word of God. We are looking the sermon today. This is part two of what just played on yesterday, and it's entitled The Demise of Judas Iscariot. It's early on in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at Judas's downfall here. What happened to Judas? How did he fall like this? The thing to see with Judas is that he was deceived, and that's what we're going to look at. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 27, where it says, Judas, when he saw what had happened to Jesus, he was full of remorse, hurled that money in the temple, and cried out, I've sinned. You see, Judas was deceived. He thought that something was something, while something was actually something else. This is part two of this message here now. You'll hear my sermon, The Perils of Peter. That'll play Wednesday and Thursday. I invite you guys to church Wednesday. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is heading that up. He's in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and he just got started on that. He'll be in chapter two here this week here, Wednesday, 6 o'clock. We would love to see you for one of our services, Wednesday night at 6. Sunday mornings at 10:30. We're going through the book of Acts here at Island. Let's go back and hear an early chapter now, the demise of Judas Iscariot. And now here regarding Judas, the Holy Spirit's just given you two more. Psalm 41, we just read. Psalm 109, verse 8. Remember, the Holy Spirit spoke through me. His words were on my tongue. All right, now here's some more about this Judas Iscariot. Acts 1:18. Now remember, Judas, and this is so apropos, I did not tell my wife, she makes these slides, that we were going to spend time talking about that, which is one of the verses I gave you to add to the handout, Exodus 21:32. Did you know, and I did not know, this escaped me, maybe I'd forgotten it, that 30 pieces of silver was what they gave for an accidental death of a slave. It was the lowest, it was the absolute lowest value you could ever place on a human being who died was 30 pieces of silver. So that is how they regarded the Son of God. The lowest of low, as low as you can get, like a mule, an ox, 30 pieces of silver. And today's value, $1,147, is what 30 shekels of silver is worth today. Now let's read a little more about him. Verse 18. Now this, I'm in Acts 1:18. Now this man purchased the field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all of his intestines gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Mind you, those things were written 1,000 years before it happened. I mean, who can remember what they had for dinner last night? Who knows what they're going to have for dinner on Wednesday night? You know, you two know what you're going to eat. Let me guess. A Ty Cobb salad and baby back ribs. Sorry, bad example. We go to Sonny's after service every Wednesday night. I walked right into that one, didn't I? Sorry, other than the Solana family, who else knows what they're going to eat for dinner on Wednesday night? 1,000 years in advance. So there's another one there I didn't give you before. Psalm 69, verse 25. Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it. So there's Psalm 69, verse 25, and Psalm 109, verse 8. So look at the demise of Judas Iscariot. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 1. Just going to look at a couple verses here. But when I'm done here with 27, keep your finger there. We're going to go back to 26, chapter 26 right after. Look at the demise of Judas Iscariot. Look what happened to this guy. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. Now I'm reading this time from the ESV. Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, look what it says. It says, when he saw, all right, now catch this. Judas was deceived. Never forget that. Judas Iscariot was deceived. Look at his reaction. Look at his reaction. Never forget the fact of what can happen to a person when they are deceived. Sky's the limit. And that can happen to you when you have no safeguards in your life. That can happen to you too when you have no safeguards in your life. For instance, if you serve money, then you're living on the edge. The Lord Jesus, matter of fact, said himself that it can't be done. He said, no one can serve two masters. It's Matthew 6:24. We just added that to the handout. No one can serve two masters. Judas was deceived. And the Lord Jesus said, remember, he said, be careful. He said, take heed that no one deceives you. The whole end of the age is going to be defined by being deceived. The book of Revelation, the false prophet, it says he deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. Telling those that dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and came to life. He was granted power to give life. That's L-I-F-E, in case you're wondering how to spell life. The false prophet, we're not talking God here. He raised Lazarus. This demonic false prophet is going to have the power to give life. Book, chapter, and verse, church. Revelation 13, verse 14, out of the King James Version. Verse 15, he was granted the power to give life. Greek word pneuma, spirit, breath, however you want to translate that. He was granted power to give breath or life to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should speak and cause as many as would not worship the image to be killed. People receive the mark of the beast at the end of the age because they've been deceived. Now, Judas was deceived by Satan. Catch his response and look and see how upset he is over what happened to Jesus. All right, keep reading. Matthew chapter 27, keep reading. When he saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind, or some translations say he
repented. And he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, and he cried out and said, I've sinned. I've sinned. By betraying innocent blood. And they said, what do we care about that? What's that to us? See to it. You see, once this happened, no one cares anymore. He sure was their best pal before, right? No one gives a rip about him now. What's that to us? You see to it. Verse 5. And hurling. Now all of a sudden the guy's Nolan Ryan or Dwight Gooden. Hurling the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the money of silver, said, it is not lawful to put this into the treasury since it's blood money. Boy, how holy and righteous of them, huh? What a bunch of good guys. Heaven forbid they defile the temple and put some of that money in there, right? It's not lawful for us. So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. So I feel bad for Judas. Don't kid yourself. This can happen to anyone, even me, even you, if we do not have safeguards in place. Now that reminds me of another place in the Bible. Keep your finger here and turn with me to John chapter 13, verse 18. I promise to have you guys out by 1 o'clock. John chapter 13, verse 18. When we go back, we're going to go back to Matthew 26, 22. So we're going to catch the flow here. We're going to start in John 13, 18, read four verses, and then we're going to finish the statement with Matthew 26, 22 to get a continuous flow here. Okay, John 13, 18. Jesus said, I do not speak concerning all of you, for I know whom I have chosen. But so that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Isn't that funny? Now Jesus quotes Psalm 41, verse 9. First Peter quoted it on the day of Pentecost. Now Jesus, naturally earlier, quotes the same verse, referring to Jesus. All this happened because the Bible said it was going to happen. What great comfort that is, as well, to know that every jot and every tittle and every stroke of the pen that's in the Word of God is going to be fulfilled, by golly. That's a great comfort to know, right? That God is for me, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that God's got my back, that God's my rear guard, that I win in the end. And the devil loses in the end. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Verse 19. Now I tell you before it comes, so that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am. Ego eimi, for I am he. Most assuredly, that's amen, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Now, when Jesus said these things, he was troubled in spirit. That means he was very upset. He's troubled in spirit, and he testified, that is, down with the one hand, on the stack of Bibles, up with the other. He testified and said, amen, or most assuredly, or verily, verily, I say to you, one of you is going to betray me. Now turn over to Matthew 26, 22. Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you is going to betray me. Verse 22, and they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each one of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it's written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? Really? God help us. So either A, he's trying to snow Jesus, or B, God help us. He didn't know. He didn't even know. There's no option C here. Why ask the question, am I the one that's going to do this? Either you're trying to deceive him, or you're wondering, is it I? Am I the one that's going to betray the Son of God? Isn't that funny, too, that all of them except one all said the same thing, right? Is it I? 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 Until they came to Apostle Peter, you know what Peter said? He said, I don't care if any of you other people do that. He said, I will never. God help us. God help us. The right answer, unfortunately, is to side with Mr. Iscariot here and say, is it I? So have a little pity today on Judas Iscariot. Now, Luke chapter 22, verse 3, another verse I gave you to add on the handout, informs us here at this point, probably after this had happened, the Bible says that Satan entered into Judas. Luke 22, verse 3. And then Jesus said to him, which you can read back in Matthew, he says, what you do, do quickly. He wasn't talking to Judas. He's talking to the devil now at this point. What you do, do quickly. But have a little pity on Judas today. For what happened to him can happen to anyone if you don't have safeguards in place. The Lord Jesus instructed the church not to let anyone steal our crown. So, how can I ensure that this never happens to us, right? All right, I'm convicted. This can happen to me, you say, preacher. What do I do? Where do we go? Men and brethren, what do we do? Where do we go from here? If this can happen to me, where do we go from here? First of all, the text says that Satan entered Judas. That can never happen to you. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, Satan cannot possess you as a believer in Jesus Christ. But Satan can attempt to influence you by putting thoughts into your mind. This is where and how Satan operates. Right here. Thoughts. The Apostle Paul says, speaking of the devil, he says, we're not ignorant of his devices. That's the Greek word noema. That's the Greek word for your mind. He says, we're not ignorant of his device. This is where he attacks you, not in your heart. He attacks you in your mind by placing thoughts in your mind, trying to convince you that the thoughts are your own and they're not. They're his. And once you shine the light on him, you see them, poof, like Kaiser Soze. Off he goes. Gone. safeguards. Number one, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That is, serve the Lord and not yourself. This is one of the safeguards to ensure that what happened to Judas doesn't happen to you. Put God first in your life, not second and not third. You put him first. Look, when you put him first, you'll do everything else better. Put him above your husband. You'll love your husband better when you love him more. And put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then Psalm 1, verse 1, right? He'll have the Midas touch. That's your first safeguard. See, Judas failed at that. He put himself first. I've been on this theme the last 6 months in here that serving yourself is the same as serving Satan. Because if you serve yourself, Satan has you pegged. And that's Job chapter 2, verse 4, when he says, skin for skin, all that a man has he will give for his life. Serving yourself, you're serving the devil. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You put him first with all that you do, and everything else will take care of itself. And you'll be nothing like Judas Iscariot anymore. And you've got something they never had. You've got the dynamite of God living on the inside of you. Judas didn't have that. I don't even have that written down. You've got the Holy Spirit. He didn't. Safeguard number two, which I guess now is number three. 2 Peter 1:10. It says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, listen to what the Holy Spirit says now. If you do these things, you will never stumble. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Make your calling and election sure. That is, well, you guys have already done this here before we took communion. You made your calling and election sure. Do you believe Jesus Christ is Lord? Have you received him? That's John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he's given them the exousia, the authority, the power to become sons of God. Number three, when I said make your calling and election sure, have you finalized the transaction down here in the watery grave? You've been baptized. I mean, how else can you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Where else do you die with him? Where else are you raised up again in newness of life? It's down there. How about this? I love this doxology from Jude. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, I read it twice a month here for the last 15 years. To him who is able, see, he's able, and I think it depends on you whether or not he's going to do that by putting him first with what you do. He's able to do anything. When you put him first, you've got this Midas touch where everything that you touch turns to gold, even if you don't see it with your own eyes. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, world without end. Amen. All right, I've got to move on. Here's this last safeguard let me give you. 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts the good morals. Man, oh man, this one can kill you. This is the most lethal of all. Evil company. See, if you catch their virus, then like Judas, you'll do anything to save your own hide. You'll do anything to save your own hide. Evil company. And he says, do not be deceived, meaning you're going to have a hard time believing that. Do not be deceived. And we could say in modern vernacular, don't kid yourself. If you hang around evil people all the time, you are going to catch their virus, and then you're going to end up being more like Judas instead of against him or on the other side. If you catch their virus, you'll do anything to save your own hide and to prosper yourself, just like Judas did the same thing. So let's stop here for the day. Next week, we'll see how the early church chooses a replacement for Judas, who took his own life, hung himself. And I leave you with these words here today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says, therefore, let him who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. For no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make the way of escape, so that you may be able to bear it. That's 1 Corinthians 10, 12. I'm haunted by the words of Judas this week. Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Am I the one? You know, I wish the lyrics to this hymn were not true. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. So what led to the demise of Judas? Number one, he failed the 2 Corinthians 12:13 test. What's that? Scrutinize yourself as to whether or not you are of the faith. Test your own selves. And number two, he served money and himself and not God. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for your word. We don't want to end up like Judas. We want to end up with the Midas touch, like you told us through your servant David. This is what we want. We want everything that we do to prosper. We want our prayers for our family, for our loved ones, for our children, for our spouses. We want them all to prosper. Help us to delight in you and in your word. Help us too to run away from the counsel of the ungodly. Help us to attain this Midas touch. We listen for your voice in the coming days and weeks. Show us like you always did, Lord. Show us what one thing we lack, and then may the power to be present to help us get this victory. And you promised, and we pray your word back to you, that thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in your name that we pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.